Amen. Well, good morning. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the third chapter of Ephesians. For those I haven't had the chance to meet, I'm Scott Shaw. I'm the district superintendent of the Intermountain District. And you say, what does that even mean? Sometimes I wonder. I oversee the 50-plus churches of the Nazarene in eastern Oregon, southern Idaho, northern Nevada, and northern Utah. I say 50-plus because God's doing some amazing things in the world today, and we're seeing new churches planted and growing all the time. And we've got some very exciting things happening in the Treasure Valley here as God brings some new churches to life. Believe it or not, we've got some really exciting things happening in Salt Lake City as God brings new churches to life. You're a part of that as the district, and part of my job is to oversee that work. Another part of my job is to help pastors like your churches like yours that go through pastoral transition. And so it's my job to step in and begin to have a conversation with your board and work through your with your board. I've been doing this job 7 years. Over the course of those 7 years, I think we've done about across the district, I think we've done over 25 pastoral transitions. So your church is not the first church to go through this. Currently, we have 6 churches that are looking for pastors that I'm working with, and yours is one of the 6. And we have a process that we work with, and as I work with your board, there's some things that they're going to be sharing with you over the next few Sundays that I believe will be helpful to you. One thing is, next Sunday, I believe you're going to receive a survey, a paper survey that you'll get to fill out. And it'll give you the opportunity to speak about your church and where you feel your church's strengths are, where your church's mission is, those kind of things. Once we compile the information and gather all that information from you, because we really do want to hear from you, one of the next things we'll be doing is putting together a roundtable discussion where we'll invite you to the church. I believe we're talking about doing it on a Sunday night, and once we gather you together, we're going to give you a chance to kind of see the results of that survey and say, yeah, we agree, or these are some places we think our church needs to grow, and these are some things we want our church to be as we look into the future. So all that's going to happen as we move forward, and I hope that you're engaged, because your voice really is important to us. And I hope that you'll continue to do what I saw example of today, and that is continue to pray for your church. Because at the moment, I don't know who your new pastor is going to be. And so one of the questions that's oftentimes asked at churches at about this point in the process, Pastor Doug, you know, 23 years, wow, and great ministry here. One of the next questions, people, who's going to be our new pastor? I mean, that's the big question. And the truth is, we don't know, because we want to hear from you. We want to gather some information. We want to try to understand a profile of what kind of pastor God is calling to your church. But the good news, as was prayed this morning, is that God is at work today, and in some way, shape, and form, he's calling someone to be your pastor. And our mission is just to find who that person is and feel a level of confidence and assurance that we've called and invited the right person. I think about all that, and I think about the nature of the church, because you all know that we live in a world that's kind of interesting today. And I want to talk to you this morning about the call to the church, Bethel Church, to the church in general. Because this call to the church, and we're going to look at several passages in the book of Ephesians, but this call to the church is so significant. I mean, your church is doing well, but there are many in the world who think, oh man, the church is just this sleepy group of folks who are out of touch with the world, and they're seeking to survive rather than thrive. I mean, there's that attitude. There are a lot of folks in the world who kind of believe that the church is merely caught up in the spirit of fear, and they kind of believe that that the church is just fighting the changes that are happening in the world rather than being energized to a renewed call to faith, they know, the world says, they know what we're against, but they have no idea what we're for. They have no idea what we really believe is the good news of Jesus. And so I'm sure you even deal with people who say, I don't really need the church today. You know, I've got a way that I can chart my own spiritual journey and progress, you know. And if I ever have questions, I just Google it, right? I mean, and I'm here to remind you this morning that this is a great day to be a follower of Jesus. God is doing amazing things. We have a tremendous opportunity. Your church has a tremendous opportunity. For in this world that is struggling, a world that has more information than they know what to do with, we have one in Christ, right, who can provide strength and direction and wisdom. And the good news of Jesus really is good news for the day. So let me direct you to the scripture today. This letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3. If you know Paul's story, and you can see evidence even in the passage we're going to read today, if you know Paul's story, you'll realize that everywhere Paul went, he confronted places of struggle, he confronted opposition. It was very common for Paul to find himself in some kind of a tense moment. And Paul knew all about living in a world that was hostile toward him and hostile toward the message of Christ. But look, if you would, chapter 3, verse number 7. Stand with me, if you would, this morning as we read the word. Hear the word of the Lord today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make known and plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Oh, the word of God for the people of God. We respond, thanks be to God. You can be seated this morning. Do you like to watch people? How many of you here are people watchers? Yeah. I come from a long line of people watchers. My father and my mother, well, my father especially was a people watcher. My mother loved to shop. My dad followed her to the mall. He didn't like to shop. He would sit on a bench. He would watch people walk by. He had a friend named Seldon, and they would sit on the bench together, and oftentimes as people walked by, they would predict what that person did for a living. My dad would say, oh, that guy's a school teacher. I just know he is. He's a retired school teacher. And Seldon would say, no, he sold insurance. They were even known to stop people in the mall to try to confirm what the deal was. I think you were a school teacher. He thinks you sold insurance. What did you do in your life? And they'd start up a conversation in the mall. Two old guys sitting on a bench. Are you a people watcher? I'm a people watcher, and as I look at these words of Scripture today, I find myself observing very carefully the message of the Apostle Paul. I find myself looking at the Apostle Paul in these words and thinking, what makes him tick? What gets him up in the morning? What is his driving passion? And as I read these words from the book of Ephesians, this letter to the church at Ephesus, I'm drawn to two messages that I find even in these words today. And the first of those is simply this. As I look at Paul, Paul was amazed. He was amazed by the nature of God's grace which had touched his life. Paul was amazed by the nature of God's grace that had touched his life. Do you see it in the passage this morning? How does Paul refer to himself? Do you see it? He calls himself the least less than the least of all God's people. Pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, you think about Paul's story, and you can understand why that's the case. He knows his own background. He's aware of the place from which he's come. I mean, he can't forget that he is the guy who used to be one of the great persecutors of the church and the persecutors of the Christ followers. And now God has so changed his life. God has so transformed his life that he can't help but think about the grace of Jesus that touched him. God's done this unbelievable work in his life. He can't get away from it. Can't get away from the amazing grace of God. Now, I say to you this morning, boy, that's a great reminder for us all, isn't it? When was the last time you were reminded of the amazing grace of God that touched your life? When was the last time you were reminded of the story about how God came to your life right where you were and took your life and changed you and made you new? Man, I think about it. Some of you may have amazing grace stories. When I was a kid, I always used to be amazed at those grace stories that showed up in testimonies in the church. Remember some of those? I mean, I heard stories about people who were changed and transformed. Their lives were heading down one direction, and the next thing you know, God came and touched them, and their lives were radically changed. And then I think about my story. I came to Christ when I was 10 years old. How much deep, dark sin can a 10-year-old get into? What kind of a grace story do I have to tell in my life? And in some ways, I got to tell you, when I was about 13 and I heard these amazing transformation stories of people's life and thought about my story, I thought, oh man, maybe I should have got into some great, deep, dark sin so that I'd have a better story to tell, right? Anyone like that? And yet the truth is, no. I've been a pastor now for, going on 42 years. I mean, I know I look younger than that, so thank you. I've sat in many rooms and heard many stories. I've heard lots of stories of heartbreak. I've heard lots of stories of heartache. I've seen lots of ways that people have made choices and have gone down paths that have been destructive in their life. And there have been so many times when I've walked away from those encounters with people, those conversations, and I found myself just drawn to the fact that there but for the grace of God go I. I mean, I know my life. I know my struggles. I know the places where I'm vulnerable and where temptation comes my way. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God that not only saved me when I was 10 years old, but the grace of God that sustained me. Because see, when I was 10, I had a selfish heart because that's how I came into the world. I had a heart that needed to be changed. I had a heart that needed to be cleansed by Jesus. And I'm so thankful that I opened my heart to Jesus. Because I got to tell you, I don't think I would have been able to walk through some of the challenges I faced in life without the power of Jesus at work within me. I mean, I don't think I would have had any shot at all of being married for almost 42 years. Okay? Everyone should say amen and give applause to my wife today. Because I know the nature of my life. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful I heard at least one amen today. What's your story? How's your life been touched by the grace of God? You know, one of the things that happens is that when we become aware and reminded of the grace of God, and we begin to remember our life in those kinds of ways, we're humbled, aren't we? I was reading a book this week, and this author was talking about how over time, we can kind of in our minds change our stories. You know, I was an athlete growing up, And I keep remembering that thought that says, the older I get, the better I was. And the truth is that, boy, that can be how we think about our life in general. And we can sometimes glamorize or hold on to the good things and kind of minimize the struggles that we went through, or the places where we failed, or the places where our life was touched by sin and selfishness. It's good to remember the grace of God that touches us and changes us. Because when you remember the grace of God, what happens is you'll be humbled by it. You'll be humbled by it. And I'm here to remind you, I was just on sabbatical. I had 8 weeks of sabbatical. Graciously, the district offered me that. And I asked on my sabbatical, I asked leaders, and I probably got 50 or so responses. What's the one leadership characteristic that's needed as people live in today's world? And you know what one of the key leadership characteristics they highlighted was? Humility. What's it take to live in this world? Humility. What's it take to develop humility in your life? Be reminded constantly of the grace of God that touched you, that changed you. Remember who you were, but remember the power of God, the transforming power. That's where Paul finds himself. Now, there's a second observation I find in this passage of Scripture. When I think about Paul's mission and this call to the church, because the second thing that we find here is that now that Paul has been changed and his life has been changed, oh man, he just feels compelled. He is drawn to making plain to the world the mystery of God. He is compelled to make plain to the world the mystery of God. Now you got to see this in the Scripture this morning. But how many of you like mysteries? Any of you like mysteries? Okay, how many of you cheat and go to the end and find and solve the mystery before you get... Any of you like that? Oh boy, I see some pointing at someone else. That's not good. All right. Mysteries are interesting, right? Because they reveal something unknown. There's something we have to find out. And Paul is aware of this mystery. Turn back to the first chapter of Ephesians if you have your Bibles open. Verse 3, look at it. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. See, Paul, right from the outset of this letter, as he writes to the Ephesians, is drawn to the great story of God that reaches out to every one of us. You know what God's desire is for you and for me? God's desire for everyone is that in Christ Jesus, we be so transformed that we can be found holy and blameless in God's sight. That's what God wants for us. This call to be holy and blameless in his sight. But look what Paul goes on to write. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Oh, here's that story of grace again. And you can't read those words without being drawn to that word lavished, right? What comes to your mind when you think of the word lavished? Do you think about someone kind of offering you something by the thimbleful? No, absolutely not. When you think about something being lavished on you, you just think about standing at the back of the dump truck and they just kind of pour it out all over you, right? It's that beautiful thing. That's the grace of God. That's what God had in store for us. That's how God went about working within us in order that we might live holy and blameless in his sight. His love was lavished. Oh, just take that word home with you. Lavished upon us. But look and read on. Paul writes, with all wisdom and understanding, He, God, made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. Here's the first use of the word mystery in the letter to the Ephesians. There it is. That there's this truth, Paul is saying. It was once hidden to the world, but now it's been made known. In what some thought, you know, there's a secret plan of God. There's only secrets. You got to have secrets. That's how you're going to get in. You got to know the secret. Paul says, no. There's a secret. It's made known in Christ. It's been revealed in Christ. Christ is at the heart of the answer to the mystery. So in chapter 3, at verse 2, turn over there if you would. Paul says, surely you've given, have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I've already written briefly in reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, that it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Oh, you got to hear it now. Paul's saying that we all have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the mystery. Jesus has come to make a way so that you and I could all be children of God, so that we could all be sons and daughters of God. That's the power, that's the wonder of Jesus. You know, we often think about it. There may be some Jewish folks in here, but I would imagine most of us would fall into the Gentile category. You know, once upon a time, we were not the chosen people of God. But through Christ, let me just tell you, you have been chosen. Isn't that incredible? I mean, we've been given this opportunity to come into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. In Christ, everyone can have access and share in the fulfillment of God's promise. This is the promise and the power of Christ. Everyone can be changed and made new. Wow. You know, I think about it. Is that good news for today? Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't know where you live, but where I live, people are still trying to figure out the mystery. Right? People are still trying to figure out how they can understand life's meaning and live into their potential for which they were created. And people were wrestling with all kinds of things. They're trying everything. You know, they're trying to have every kind of experience. They want to live into their dreams and passions. They want to find the right relationship. Maybe that's the right answer. They want to live according to some kind of moral code. You know, I want to live a life where the good outweighs the bad of my life. And that's kind of how they feel. And yet somehow they come to the inn, put their head on the pillow at night, and it doesn't solve the mystery. Because there's lots of people who are saying, if I'm doing so good, why do I feel so empty? That's the world in which we live. And yet, hear Paul's message. What's the message? The mystery has not been revealed through the law of good works. No, the mystery is revealed through the person of Jesus Christ. And over again, Paul invites us and reminds us that something happens when we are in Christ, and something happens through Christ. And that which was hidden or seemed to be unknown is made clear in and through Christ. Through him we make our way into the Father. That's why I was so thankful we sang this song this morning about the power of Jesus. Wow, I love to think about the power of Jesus. Thanks for that great song today. All right, but understand the call. Did you see it? It's in chapter 3, verse number 10. Look at it if you would. The scripture says his, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Okay, So if you're a follower of Jesus today, you know the answer to the mystery. You know the answer to the mystery. It's Christ Jesus. There's no question this morning when it comes to the mystery, to the mission of the church, the call to the church. Paul's told us God's intent is that the mystery now be made known to the world through the church. And you become, and I become, the proclaimers of the good news of Jesus, right? We're to be the ones who demonstrate what it looks like to kind of live into our spiritual potential. We're to be the ones who embody and live out the great values of God's kingdom. The world is going to discover the good news of Jesus through us. Man, I'm constantly aware of that phrase from missionary Jim Elliot. You probably know it. He just said, I want those who know me but don't know Jesus to want to know Jesus because they know me. Isn't that great? He was just saying, I have the mystery. I have the answer to the mystery. And I just want those who know me but don't know Jesus to want to know Jesus because they know me. That's the call to the church, wherever we go out into the world. I think about what's going to happen this week here at your church during Bible school. You're going to have the opportunity to share the message of Jesus with a whole lot of kids who are needing to know the answer to the mystery. Knowing the power of Jesus, being changed by Jesus, now hear me, will change the whole trajectory of their lives, right? So some people think, oh, well, yeah, you know, we do church, and then kind of we do this Bible school thing. Let me just tell you, if you haven't volunteered to be involved in this Bible school this week, there ought to be a long line in the foyer today because it's the most important thing your church will do. I'm reading statistics recently, and the statistics say that we must target, if we want to change the next generation, we must target those 8 years old. 8 years old. Okay? That's why you need to be a volunteer Bible school this week. That's why you need to invest and give your time to getting to know an 8 year old and sharing with them the answer to the mystery. It'll change their life. And it's the way to change the next generation. I think about it. Your kids are going to come to Bible school this week, and you know what they're going to learn about? They're going to learn about the grace of God, right? Because you're going to be dealing with the book of Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's what Paul writes in this letter. It's the work of God, this grace of God. That's lavished upon us. Don't even try to figure it out. Because there's no answer. It's too overwhelming. There are no words to describe it. Right? And when it's lavished upon you, you know what happens? You can't boast about it because you didn't do anything about it. All you can do is be humbled by it so that no one can boast. And then what's the word say? For we are God's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What's the message? We've received of this grace. It's changed us. And now we've got to go out and live out our call in the world. We're God's workmanship. We share that grace with the world. That's the call to the church. A week ago at PALCON, which is a pastors and leadership conference for Nazarene ministers over at NNU. And while I was there, there was a powerful message preached by Dave Roberts, Reverend Dave Roberts, pastor at Montrose Church of the Nazarene down in California. And he was talking about this this grace of God that's lavished upon us. I mean, it's amazing. Over and over again in this message, over and over again, he stated that when God's love is lavished, when his grace is lavished upon us, when he just pours it out upon us, it just soaks us with this grace to the point that it kind of drips all over us. You know, I drove my car through the car wash yesterday. And I was driving my car through the car wash, and all I could think about was the grace of God and how it's lavished upon us. What would it be like to walk through the car wash? Be terrible, wouldn't it? You would be soaked. But you'd be scrubbed clean, I think. But this grace of God just lavished upon us. Do you understand it? It just drips all over you and drips off of you. You getting the picture? And what Pastor Robert said is that once that grace starts dripping all over you and dripping off of you, you can't help. You can't help but just share that grace and let it drip all over everyone around you. Right? You're like that wet dog. You've been around a wet dog who just shakes and the water just goes everywhere. That's the message of God's grace that just pours out all over us. And then he calls us to share that grace. Share the answer to the mystery with the world. Is that ever a challenge? Well, absolutely. That's why if you go to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, you'll find that at the end of this letter that Paul writes, Paul offers this in verse 19. Paul says, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known" what? "The mystery of the gospel." Paul's just saying, I want to go into the world and I want to share with people the good news of Jesus. I know the answer to the mystery. And as I've been touched by God's grace, the call is for me to go and share fearlessly that grace with the world. Stand with me, would you, this morning? God, I hope this morning that there are folks in this service who've been reminded that once upon a time they were away from you. They were filled with a selfish heart. But Jesus came, and his grace was poured out over them, and they were changed and transformed. And now, God, as that grace drips all over them, I pray that you will enable them as they go into the world to share that grace with others. Oh, man, we're living around people, Lord, who are hurting and broken and struggling. And they just need to know that today your love and your grace is lavished on them as well. So, Lord, thank you. Lead us now into the world, and may we fulfill your call. In Christ's great name, we pray these things.